Will you please turn to Psalm 91? Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of Jehovah, my refuge and my fortress, my God, I will confide in him. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the destructive pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou find refuge. His truth is a shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, for the error that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made Jehovah my refuge, the Most High thy dwelling place, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. And he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Because thou hast set his love upon me, he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With length of days will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Lately, the Lord has exercised my heart on this matter of making home in God. In Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses, he shows us how essential that we make our home in God. He used the children of Israel as an example. Because they did not make their home in God as they should, therefore, that whole generation fell in the wilderness. But should they make God their home, they will find the loving kindness of God. They will see the work of God in their life, and the beauty of the Lord shall be manifested in them. So Moses declared that by faith God has been our dwelling place in all generations. This is what it ought to be. This is what it could be. Then we find in the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to John the secret of making home in God. Our Lord Jesus offered himself to us as our home. But how can we make him our home? How can we really dwell, abide in him? The Lord said, abide in me and I in you, and you shall bear much fruit. The secret of abiding, number one, is by faith. We believe that we are in him and he is in us. The Lord said, I am the true vine and ye are the branches. We are in him. By God, you are in Christ Jesus. And God has made him unto us wisdom, righteousness, and holiness and redemption. So first of all, we must believe in this truth that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And because we believe, therefore the Holy Spirit is able to make it real to us. So the secret of abiding, number one, is faith. Believing in what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Believing in the union with Christ. Believing we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And then secondly, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us will make this real to us. If there is anything that is contradictory to the character of that home, He will reveal to us. And if we yield to the Holy Spirit, listen to the teaching of the anointing, then we will find, indeed, we are abiding in Him. And number three, the instrument that He uses to bring about this abiding is the cross. The cross will deal with our self-life, when all is willing and is working, and replace it with the life of Christ, with all His willing and His working. That's the secret of abiding. Now this morning we would like to go into Psalm 91, which show us one of the results of making home in God. There are many blessings if we make our home in God. And one of the blessings is found in Psalm 91. We do not find any title to this psalm, as you'll find in Psalm 90. And we are told by Jewish rabbis that if you do not find in the beginning the mentioning of the writer, then you assign this psalm to the author of the preceding psalm. In other words, if we do not find the title above Psalm 91, then we go back to Psalm 90 to find the author of that psalm. Now, this is not always true, but certainly in this case, it seems to be true. Why? Because if you read Psalm 91, you will find the same spirit as you'll find in Psalm 90. And Psalm 91, you'll find there are much similarity with the book of Deuteronomy. The phrases, the expressions of Moses. So we believe that Psalm 91 was also composed by Moses. When Moses wrote Psalm 90, he had especially the children of Israel before him as they journeyed through the wilderness. Because of their sin against God, they lived under the wrath of God and they fell in the wilderness. And when he wrote Psalm 91, we believe that he had Joshua and Caleb before him. Here you'll find two men who lived through the terrible experiences that the children of Israel experienced in the wilderness. And yet, they live. They literally live among the dead, in the midst of graves. So in Psalm 91, most probably, Moses had Joshua and Caleb in view. Psalm 90 tells us people who live under the wrath of God because of their sin. Psalm 91 tells us
people who live victoriously because they abide in God and they are under the wing of the Almighty. Psalm 90 seems to be a tragedy. Psalm 91 is victory. And yet, in a sense, these two psalms are continuous. They are contrast, and yet they are continuous. Because there you'll find in Psalm 90, that declaration of faith. God has been our home in all generations. And then Psalm 91 tells us, what is the result of making God your home? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. As Psalm 90, this psalm begins with a statement. It is a statement of truth, of fact, of reality. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, brothers and sisters, this is a statement of truth. It is a fact. It is a reality. It is always true. If anyone should make the Most High his home, he will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I wonder, when Moses wrote this, did he have the tabernacle before him? You know, when the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness, God gave them not only the law to keep, but also the tabernacle. God said he would dwell among his people in that tabernacle. But the children of Israel, because they sinned against God, when Moses was on the mount receiving the law, therefore, they were not able to serve God as a nation of priests. The children of Israel could only enter into the court, the outer court. They could only worship God at a distance. They could offer their sacrifices on the altar. But that's all they could do. Only the priests, the house of Aaron, they were privileged to enter into the holy place. And there they were able to minister unto God. By burning incense, that is, offering prayers, by lighting the lampstand as a testimony, and they put the showbread on the table of showbread as a communion. But that's as far as they could go. There was a veil that stood before them, separating the holy place from the holiest of all. Only the high priest, once a year, was privileged to enter behind the veil, but always with blood and with incense. The smoke would cover him as he entered behind the veil to atone for the children of Israel. But he was there only once a year, and for a very brief period. He had to retreat and came out. So the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us, as long as the tabernacle exists, the way to the holiest of all is not open. In other words, under the law, no matter how close you may draw near to God, you cannot really abide in the secret place of the Most High. Moses realized that. Under the law, no one could abide in the secret place of the Most High. Where is the secret place of the Most High? The holiest of all. Because there you'll find the glory of God set upon the mercy seat, which was over the ark. There's the secret place of the Most High. But no one could dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The high priest could go there a visit, a short visit. But even the high priest could not make his home in the secret place of the Most High. Under the law, this was impossible. But somehow Moses, by the grace of God, was able to go beyond the law. And he said something which is only possible under grace. He who abides in the secret place of the Most High. By grace, we are able to abide in the secret place of the Most High. We are able to make our home in God Himself. As we mentioned in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, our life is hid with Christ in God. In Ephesians chapter 2, we are told that He has not only quickened us, He has also raised us together with Christ. And more than that, He has seated us together with Christ in the heavenly places. In other words, by the grace of God, today we are in the heavenly places. We are abiding, we are living, we are making our home, we remain in the secret place of the Most High. This is what grace can give us. Dear brothers and sisters, this is what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Today we can live in the secret place of the Most High. Today we can make the Most High our dwelling place. And because He is the Most High, therefore nothing can reach it. He who lives in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Our God is not only the Most High, He is also the Almighty. There is no one higher than Him. Therefore, He is above all. There is no one mightier than He. He is the Almighty One. Brothers and sisters, if we live in the secret place of the Most High, we are under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, what do you mean by shadow? If you see a shadow, you know the substance is nearby. In other words, the shadow speaks of the influence of the substance. The shadow of the Almighty means you are under the influence, the protection, the keeping, the power of the Almighty One. That is what is meant, under the shadow of the Almighty. If we make God our home, then we are protected. We are safe. We are secure. Because we are under the shadow of the Almighty. I cannot forget my own experience. When my grandfather died, my father was in India at a conference. And because he loved my grandfather very much, as a matter of fact, he was supposed to come to this country, but because my grandfather wasn't well, so he refused to come to this country. And he waited until he saw my grandfather was getting better. Then he went to India for a conference. But while he was in India, my grandfather passed away. So the family did not dare to notify him while he was in India. So they called me, they sent a message to me, I was in Hong Kong. So my father's boat in coming back had to pass through Hong Kong. So they asked me to let my father know about my grandfather's passing away. You know, at least I would be with him at that time. So when the boat arrived at Hong Kong, I went to the pier to see my father. And he was high up on the deck. And I was there on the pier. But as he looked down upon me, he saw that I had a black band around my arms. That was the way the Chinese usually do. When some of your family folks pass away, you put a band, black band around your arms for a certain time as a memory. So when my father saw that black band around my arm, immediately he called down and said, "What happened? Has my father died?" Well, I took my father home, and we spent a few hours together, and he said one thing to me I couldn't appreciate or understand at that time. He told me, he said, "Son, I have no more father. I do not have a father anymore." Now, that's, of course, that's a fact, because my friend's grandfather passed away. But what's special about it? I couldn't understand. Not until in 1958, when my father passed away. I was in England, and they tried to send a message to me. And when I got that message, immediately the word that my father spoke to me when his father died came back to me. And I say the same thing. From now on, I have no father. Now, brothers and sisters, what does that mean? It means that from now on, you have to stand on your own. You have no shadow under which you can rest. There will be no one protecting you. You will have to fight for yourself. You are no longer under the shadow of a big tree, as the Chinese proverb says. You know, you live under the shadow of a big tree. You are well protected. But now that big tree is gone. You have to be on your own. Now, dear brothers and sisters, is it not true that the people in this world, they are not under the shadow of the Almighty? Therefore, they have to fight for themselves. And no wonder, as they think of the future, they are full of fear and trembling. As you find in Luke, it is said, when people think of what are going to happen, they are literally feared unto death. Why? Because they have no one to lean upon. They have no protection. They are not under the shadow of the Almighty. Brothers and sisters, I think the most pressing problem in this world today is this matter of security and safety. Where is our safety? Where is our security? And how people look to tomorrow and find and look to tomorrow with fear and trembling. because they feel we are not secure, we are not safe. But how about us Christians? Are we also concerned and worry about security and safety? Do we forget that we are under the shadow of the Almighty? Isn't it strange that people are talking about the end of this age, and we should, because the end of this age is approaching? We know that our Lord is coming soon. We know that there will be difficult days, and we are already in the difficult days. And how Christians try to meet these difficult days and Christians try to find out a way of safety and security. Some people think that, well, the best thing to do is leave the big cities, because these big cities are targets of the bombs. Nuclear war. If nuclear war should happen, then these big cities are targets. So let us move to the desert. And we find some Christians, in order to prepare themselves for all the coming days, they move to the deserts. They build log cabins and they farm and try to be self-sufficient, so when the difficult days shall come, when there will be famine and no more food, then they have food to eat and they can be so separated and will not be touched by anybody. So that's the way to wait for the coming of the Lord. They are safe and secure. And then other people who are not able to go to these desert places, well, they try to dig a shelter underneath their house and store food, dehydrated food that can keep for a year. But then they begin to think, oh, we have the food, but other people don't. Now, what should we do? Buy guns so that you can protect your food. And brothers and sisters, literally, you'll find there are true Christians who are doing the very same thing. I have seen pictures taken. Christians sitting there with guns, guiding their dehydrated food. Now, brothers and sisters, is this the way to get security and safety? Have we forgotten that the only way that we can be safe and secure is to make your home in God? If you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, then you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He is the Almighty. There is nothing mightier than Him. So if you are under the shadow of the Almighty, now you are the most secure and safe person in the whole world. Have we forgotten this? Are we so frightened? The Lord Jesus said, when you see that these things are coming, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Brothers and sisters, we are safe, we are secure in Christ Jesus if we make our home in God. This is a statement of truth. It is true. Not because it is too good. You cannot receive it. Because it is so good, take it. And then you find in the second verse the response of faith. After that truth is stated, then you need to respond with faith. In other words, you need to appropriate the truth by faith and make it yours. Otherwise, the truth is truth and you are you. The truth is forever true, but to you is never real. So, brothers and sisters, you find here in the second verse the response of faith. I say of Jehovah, my refuge and my fortress, my God, I will confide in thee. I say of Jehovah. Now, if this is the truth, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, then I say of Jehovah, my refuge and my fortress. I will flee to him and make him my refuge. You know, in the Old Testament days, even before the children of Israel entered into the promised land, God commanded Moses that after the children of Israel enter into the promised land, they shall set apart 6 cities as cities of refuge. 3 on this side of Jordan, 3 on the other side of Jordan. You can find that in Numbers chapter 35. And there you'll find God said, set apart 6 cities of refuge, scattered over the whole land. Now, what are these cities for? These cities of refuge are for people who kill other people unintentionally. If anybody should kill anybody intentionally, he is a murderer, and his blood should be spilled. The avenger has the right to spill his blood. But if anyone should kill anybody unintentionally, suppose you are cutting the wood and suddenly the head of the axe flies and kill a person nearby. Now you do not kill him intentionally. Now according to the law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Therefore, if you spill his blood, he will spill your blood. His relative, his kinsman can spill your blood. That is according to law. But you do not kill that person intentionally. So God in his mercy provide a city of refuge. You can flee to the city of refuge. And after you arrive in the city, then the avenger of blood could not enter into the city and kill you. You will stay there. And as long as you are in the city, nobody can touch you. You are not allowed to leave the city. If you are found outside of the limit of the city, then the avenger of blood can kill you. But if you live in the city, when the high priest was living, then you were safe. After the high priest died, then you could return home. The whole thing was over. Now, brothers and sisters, we find that this is but a type. And the reality is our Christ, our God. God is our refuge. Christ is our refuge. We flee into him. Isn't that the mercy of God? When our Lord Jesus died on the cross, the first word he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In other words, it is as if the Lord said, now they don't do it intentionally. Therefore, forgive them. Let them flee to the city of refuge and be safe. Now, brothers and sisters, haven't we fled into the city of refuge? Haven't we fled into Christ? Now, if we are in Christ, we are in the city of refuge, then the avenger of blood cannot touch us. But don't forget, stay in the city. As long as the high priest is living. Because if you go out of the city, then the avenger of blood will catch up with you. Thank God our high priest never died. He liveth forever. Therefore, we cannot leave the city at any time. Now, brothers and sisters, is that clear? We have fled into the city of refuge, and it's meant for us to stay there, to make our home in that city of refuge. And as long as we make our home in the city of refuge, we are secure and safe. No one can touch us. I will say of Jehovah, my refuge and my fortress. He is not only my refuge, he is also my fortress. Even if the enemy should try to attack, that fortress is too strong for the enemy. So the psalmist say, my God, you are really my God. I will confide in thee. I will trust in thee. Dear brothers and sisters, nothing honor the Lord more than putting our trust in him. If we believe in God, if we believe in God's word, if we believe that he is our refuge and our fortress, if we believe that we are under the shadow of the Almighty, if we believe, we honor God. And he who honors God, God will honor him. Then from verse 2 through verse 8, Moses, show us what happened if we were under the shadow of the Almighty. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the destructive pestilence. You know, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and as they journeyed through the wilderness, they were literally surrounded with dangers. If you read the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers, you'll find when they came out of Egypt, and as they were traveling through the wilderness and they were very tired, then the enemy, the Amalek, came and attacked their rear. The enemy spread, as it were, a snare to try to catch the bird. Now, suppose you want to catch some birds. Now, this is one way to do it. You try to put some grain on the ground, maybe, you know, something attractive, you know, a little food scattered there, and then you use a kind of a trap, you know, a snare. And you may be hiding somewhere so the bird will not see you. Then the little birds are flying in the air, you know, they begin to notice there are some grains there. Well, good food. So they just fly into your snare. And as they are occupied with picking up these little grains, suddenly the trap falls upon them and they are caught. Now that's what the enemy is always trying to do. The enemy is trying to catch us. Use a little grain, a little something, you know, attractive, trying to occupy our attention. And as we are looking down upon these things and we are not conscious, suddenly we are trapped. We are caught. When the children of Israel journeying through the wilderness, the enemy arranged a lot of these snares and traps. Try to trap them. You know, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, a mixed multitude came out with them. In other words, there were more people coming out of Egypt than the children of Israel. Now, people will say, hallelujah, isn't that good that there are more people coming out? But you know, these people who came out became a snare to the children of Israel. Why? Because they were not God's chosen people. They came out because they thought, well, maybe we could find a better land. We could get better living. So when they were journeying in the wilderness, even though God in His generosity supplied manna to these people as well as to the children of Israel, and yet they soon got tired of manna. Oh, that these mannas are just flat. And you know, they began to murmur. The murmuring started with the mixed multitude. You read Numbers chapter 11, you find that these mixed multitude, because they did not know God. They did not come out because they knew God. They came out because they were seeking for a better opportunity. And now all they got was manna. They got tired of it. So they began to murmur and say, now why we were in Egypt? We have all these smelly things to eat, you know, you garlic and onions and leek and fishes. But here these are just flat, tasteless. And because they murmur, these are like snares. Soon you'll find their lust stirred the lust of the children of Israel. And the whole camp began to murmur. Oh, we are tired of this manna. We don't have meat. We want meat. Well, God gave them meat. But when the meat was between their teeth, before they were consumed, chewed, a plague came upon them, and many died. So here you'll find the description. Snares of the fowlers, destructive pestilence. In the wilderness, you'll find that happen again and again and again. Just to use another illustration, when they were near the southern border of the promised land, they sent spies into the land, and the spies came back with evil report. The land was good, but we find giants there that look upon us as grasshoppers, and their walls reach into heaven. This is a land that would devour people. This land would be our graves. And the children of Israel cried again, and you remember God sent a plague. And the 10 spies died of plague. And later on, you'll find how they rebel again and again, and plague come upon them again and again, until that whole generation fell in the wilderness. How the enemy has spread the snares. And how they were caught. And how they were destroyed under destructive pestilence. But surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the destructive pestilence. Look at Joshua and Caleb. They were not caught. They did not die by pestilence. They were delivered. They lived. Why? Because they were under the shadow of the Almighty. They had an excellent spirit. They dwell in God. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou find refuge. His truth is a shield and buckler. You remember our Lord Jesus when He approached the city of Jerusalem during the last week? As He saw the city of Jerusalem, He wept. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I tried to put you under my wings, as a hen will put the chicken under, little chicken under its wings, but you were not. Therefore, you will see your house a desolation. until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, here is a hen with a few chicks there, little chick there, you know, and they all trying to find food, you know. And these little chicken, you know, they are so occupied with finding a little food to satisfy their hunger, they don't look up. They forgot everything else. But the hen was there watching. And suddenly she saw an eagle soaring there in the air. And the hen knew what that eagle was after. Was after the little chicks. So the hen began to crack, crack, crack and cry and say, now come under my wing. She spread her wings and said, come under my wing. And some little chicks, you know, listened to the mother's call and they fled under the wing. But there might be one who didn't listen. That little woman, they say, oh, I see no danger. This grain, this food, my, that's beautiful. I must have it. So that little chick continued to try to pick up the grain, and suddenly the eagle came down and took it. Brothers and sisters, this is what happened to Israel in the time of Christ. Our Lord wants to put them under his wings. Then they are safe and secure. But they were not. So that nation was destroyed. The people were scattered to the four corners of this world. The Lord wanted to put them while in the wilderness under his wings, but they refused. So they died in the wilderness. But whoever makes his home in God, he shall cover him with his feathers, and under his wing shall thou find refuge. His truth is a shield and buckler. Brothers and sisters, it is true. We are journeying through a terrible wilderness. This world is a terrible wilderness. Do not think that this world is safe. It is not safe. There are dangers everywhere. The enemy set up snare after snares, trying to catch us, if he can. There are pestilence, famines, wars, earthquakes. Terrible things are going on all the time. And as we journeying through this wilderness, of course, we will have to face these things. They are not only physical dangers. Suppose there's a war, and you happen to live in a war zone. Suppose there is an earthquake, and you're living in that area when the earthquake. Or suppose you're living in a place where there is famine and hunger. They are physical dangers. But over above these physical dangers, there are spiritual dangers. Oh, how the enemy tried to tempt us to sin, try to stir up our lusts, try to occupy our mind with the things of this world, try to destroy our soul if he can. We are surrounded with dangers and perils of all kinds. Moral dangers, physical dangers, spiritual dangers. We are journeying through a dangerous world. But dear brothers and sisters, need we be frightened? Need we be full of fear and trembling? Do we need to think all the time about security and safety and try to find where we can find security and safety? Which city can we flee? Which place can we go? How can we be prepared so that when these things should strike, We are all ready for it. Prepare for it. Now, I do not mean to say that we should be careless. The Lord never wants us to be careless. But certainly, the Lord wants us to see that our safety and security is in Him, not in anything else. You may try to prepare everything else, but you still do not feel safe. You will be like Jacob. Jacob prepared everything. He saw his brother was coming with 400 people, so he sent gifts and other gifts to appease his brother's mind. But he didn't feel safe. So he divided his own family into two. And if one should be attacked, then the other can flee. And he sent them over the stream. But he could not go over himself. Why? He still didn't feel safe. After all this planning, dear brothers and sisters, where is our security? Where is our safety? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shall thou find refuge. His truth, his faithfulness is a shield and buckler. A shield may protect only the important organs of your body, but a buckler protects the whole body. You are well protected if you make God your home. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, for the error that flies by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You shall not be afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, fear is not from God. How many Christians today live under fear? That shows that you are not under the shadow of the Almighty. That you do not live in the secret place of the Most High. If you live in the secret place of the Most High, why should you be afraid? You are under His wings. You are under refuge. These things cannot reach you, cannot touch you. 1,000 shall fall by thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. To Joshua and Caleb this was literally true. They saw thousands fell by thy side and 10,000 by thy right hand. The children of Israel just die left and right through the wilderness. The corpses on everywhere and graves everywhere. That whole generation died in the wilderness. But it did not get even near to Joshua and Caleb. They only see the reward of the wicked. We will see these things happening. But these things will not come near us. Why? Because we are under the shadow of the Almighty. Brothers and sisters, do we believe this? But according to this psalm, this promise or this is not automatically applied to all believers. Is that a shock to you? Such security and safety is not automatically applied to all believers. Why? Because from verse 9 to verse 16, you find there are two because there. In verse 9, because thou hast made Jehovah my refuge, the Most High thy dwelling place, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy tent. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. In other words, if you really want to be under the shadow of the Almighty, then you must make the Most High your dwelling place, your home. Not all believers make God their home. It is true that God offers himself to all believers as their home. But not all believers stay home. Many are prodigal sons. They leave their home and went to a far country. And if they were in a far country, surely they will be in distress, in famine, until they return home. So here you'll find it is conditional. It is true. He who lives in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. That is true. But this truth is only applicable to people who make God their dwelling place. In 1854, Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, he moved to London, and it wasn't a year since he moved there. And then there was an Asiatic cholera spreading in the city. Many people died from that cholera. And being a pastor, he was called to many bedsides of the sick to pray for them. And almost daily, he visited the graveyard to bury some people. Now, after he had done that for some time, he was so sick in heart and so tired in body, he thought he too would go under it. One day he came back with sadness from the cemetery. He just buried another one. And as he was going home, he was so tired. But as he walked on the street, on Dover Road, he saw a paper posted on the window of a shoemaker. And out of curiosity, he went there to see it. And he saw that on that paper, some words were written in bold letters. And these were quotations from Psalm 91. Because thou hast made Jehovah my refuge, the Most High thy dwelling place, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. And when Spurgeon read it, immediately faith rose within him to appropriate that word. And immediately his spirit was lifted. He was able to attend to the sick and to bury the dead until the plague was over. And it never touched him. Dear brothers and sisters, that's the secret. I believe verse 9 was spoken by Moses. Because thou hast made Jehovah my refuge, the Most High, thy dwelling place. Moses has made God his refuge. Moses knew the secret. He hid himself in God. But now he exhorted the children of Israel, make the Most High your dwelling place. If you make the Most High your home, maybe you will ask this question. Does it mean to say that no evil will ever befall a Christian who makes his home in God? Does it mean to say that he will not ever be sick? Does he mean that the plague or pestilence will never touch him? Suppose there is a plague going on, and people are dying left and right, and the plague will never come near your tent. Suppose there is a war, but you will never be hurt. The bomb would never fail, never fall through your roof. Suppose there is famine, and you find there's always food in your house. Now, does it mean to say that these things would never come upon you? You know, we are all doubting Thomas. Well, brothers and sisters, number one, let us believe what God has said. First of all, do not think of these things. Let us believe what God has said. If we make God our home, we will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then no evil will come upon us, and no pestilence will come near our tent. Let us believe it. You know, the problem with us today is we doubt before we believe. Let's believe and then doubt, if you want to doubt. Let's believe. Let's believe what God has said. And I believe that if you believe what God has said, you'll find it is true. I can give you many testimonies. If you believe what God has said, and you really dwell in God, you do see that when all these things are happening, somehow you are delivered. No evil will befall you. That's number one. All right. Then number two. Suppose it pleases God that when the bomb fell, you died. Is it that God's word promise is not true? No. Because evil to you is no evil. It sends you quicker to the Lord. Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. So Spurgeon says, losses enrich you. Sickness is your medicine. To die is gain. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are called according to purpose. Therefore, there can be no evil befall you. Brothers and sisters, this is the attitude we should take. This is our faith. For he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. We often hear people talking about guardian angel. Everyone has a guardian angel. Now, if you drive your car too fast, probably you leave your guardian angel behind you. Then you will be in trouble. But thank God, what you find here is not just you have a guardian angel. The Lord, He will send His angels in the plural number. Not just one angel, but many angels. God's angels are ministers to those who are redeemed. Now think of that. We are surrounded with angels of God. And God charged them to take care of us. You remember one instance in the Old Testament? When the enemy surrounded that city of Dothan? I believe it's Dothan. And the servant of Elisha worked up and saw all these. The city was surrounded by the enemy. He was literally frightened. And Elisha prayed, God, open the eyes of my servant. And when the eyes of the servant was opened, he saw that the angel of God surrounded that city, protected that city. Brothers and sisters, how true it is. If we make God our home, He will give His angels charge concerning us to keep us in all our ways. The all our ways means we are walking in the will of God. How do we know the will of God in our daily walk? Because we dwell in God. If we dwell in God, then God reveals His secret to us. So, in all our ways, we are walking in His will. And if we walk in His will, His angel keep charge. Take care of us. You know, if you think back, there are many times when you are in real danger and somehow you are delivered. You don't know how. God has sent His angels to deliver you. And there are many things that you are even not conscious of. But the angels have been ministering to you. If the angel are not ministering to you, probably something will already happen. But God really gave His angels charge concerning you, to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. When the road is too rough, then He will lift you up so that your foot will not be dashed on the stone. How good it is. More, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample underfoot. Brothers and sisters, you are not only protected and kept, but you are able to overcome and be victorious. When I was a young Christian in China at one time, we always liked people to write something on our album, you know. At one time it was very popular. Everybody had an album and asked people, you know, to write something on it. And I did have an album at that time, no more now. And I asked different people to write on it, and I asked Brother Nee to write something for me. And he wrote something that I could never understand. You know what he wrote? He wrote Romans chapter 16, verse 20. He said, but the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Now, he wrote that on my album. I didn't understand it at that time. But more and more I appreciate it. How true it is that the enemy is not only under the foot of our Lord Jesus, but God shall put Satan under our foot too. We shall tread upon the lion and the adder if we make our home in God.
This is a promise. You want to live victoriously? There's only one way. Live in God. If you abide in God, you live victoriously. The lion and the adder will be under your feet. And then in verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I believe this is spoken by God himself. God adds something to it. They say, because he has set his love upon me. Brothers and sisters, what is a home? What is the home atmosphere? Love. In 1 John you'll find, he who abides in love abides in God, because God is love. How do I know I abide in God? If I love him. If I really love him. If we love him, we keep his commandments. Brothers and sisters, the Lord said, if you set your love upon me, it is just another way to say, if you make me your home, then I will deliver you. In these last few verses, you have sevenfold blessing. I will deliver him. I will set him on high. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With lands of day will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The Lord will not only deliver us, but will set us on high. He will answer our prayer. If we are in trouble, he will be with us. He will honor us. He will give us the length of day, and he will give us his salvation. And all these awful people who make God their home. Brothers and sisters, more and more I begin to feel that the most basic of our Christian life is to make God our home. If you make God your home, then all these things will come. As a matter of fact, there is no technique, no formula in spiritual things. It is just dwelling in God, communing with him, listening to the Holy Spirit, learn to obey him. And as we make our home in God, you will find we are under the shadow of the Almighty. May God help us. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank thee that even though we live in a perilous world, a terrible wilderness, and yet there is safety and security, because we live in thee. Thou art our home. We are under the shadow of thee, the Almighty. Therefore, we can proclaim with Paul, if God be for us, who can be against us? What can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? We are more than conquerors because of him. May this be true to thy people. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.